We're going to continue in our series, as we have been for a number of weeks now, looking at what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. It might be something that you recognize from your own childhood. It might be words that you have in the back of your mind, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. And before we read today, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Let me just read the words that we're going to be looking at tonight from that prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Those are the words, that last phrase there that we're going to focus on. Give us today our daily bread. That is the prayer to look at tonight. But we're going to read our readings for this evening from later on in that very same chapter, Matthew 6 and verse 25, and then we're going to read from John 6 again. So let's read Matthew chapter 6. If you've got Bibles at home, you can open and read and keep it open over the course of the evening, but if you can, you can just look on your screen. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We're going to move ahead a couple of books of the Bible. We're going to go to John chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 25 to 35, the words of Jesus. Let's read. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to an eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Amen. If you still have your Bibles open, or please do open them at Matthew chapter 6 in particular. And we're going to focus on the words, give us today our daily bread. Now, let's get this clear first. when we pray for daily bread, we're not just praying for bread as such. Bread is shorthand for everything we need for our bodily well-being. And that includes food, drink, clothes, shoes, house, land, exercise, medicine, money, goods, work, peace, law, order, relationships, and things like that. If you grew up hearing the words, "Give us today our daily bread," and thought, "Wow, that is a very limited prayer," it's actually just shorthand for so much more, for everything we need for our bodily and our spiritual well-being. But that being said, in recent weeks, some of us watching today may have prayed these words like never before. Think of the clamor for paracetamol or even for toilet roll. Now, many of us will be really feeling the need, the want for the daily things necessary for our well-being. The things that we took for granted before. Even the mental health benefit of getting outside once a day is really hitting home now. But with this prayer, "Give us today our daily bread," there may be a pressing need tonight more than any other. And that's the layer of this prayer that we're going to look at first. We'll look at the practical side of this prayer in a few moments. That's very real. But first, we pray these words needing our spiritual daily bread. And so that's the first thing, our spiritual bread. Bluntly speaking, we need more than anything else right now to pray, "Our Father in heaven, give us today Jesus, the bread of life." Why do I say that? Why do I say that that's the thing that we need more than anything else right now? Well, we have no assurances of tomorrow. Even if I trust him, even if I believe in him, even if I live for him, God doesn't promise me physical security. He doesn't promise me employment, family, or health. He doesn't promise that I'm going to be alive tomorrow. And having any of these uncertainties hanging over us would normally cause us to be anxious. And the current pandemic has brought us just a little bit closer, or a lot closer, alongside those across history and those in many other parts of the world today who have far more uncertainties than our society here normally felt. And there is an even more pressing danger of death. It's real. We feel it. We're all feeling it to some degree. So what do we need more than anything else? Well, often our physical need for daily bread opens the door to our deeper heart needs for real food. We read from John chapter 6, where the day after Jesus fed the 5,000, the crowds met him on the beach at Capernaum. They met him for breakfast, and Jesus told them that he had better food for them. He said, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, naturally, they go straight away, "Hey, sir, always give us this bread." If you heard of bread that would give life to the world, you'd be like, "Yeah, that's the bread we want." Imagine you had constant access to a private, fully stocked supermarket right now. Or a private hospital bed just for you. Always. Just in case. And you had a secure, fully paid job. Now that would ease a lot of our uncertainties. And they're hearing that God is going to give them perpetual access to bread that will come down from heaven. Straight to them. It's going to give them life. Life to the world. Their stomachs are rumbling. Where's this bread? And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Stop right there, because that is one of the most audacious and controversial claims that Jesus ever made. If you're watching tonight curious about whether God is maybe speaking to you in everything that's happening in the world, you need to hear this. Jesus is saying, you need me more than you need your next meal, more than you need your family, more than you need your job, more than you need your own life. I mean, just before this, he said, do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, that's a name that Jesus would use for himself, that the Son of Man will give you. And it turns out that food for eternal life, it turns out to be himself. He is what I need more than anything else. Now, think of it like this. You're at home right now, and you can be pottering around, and you can find that the whole afternoon has disappeared because you're playing Candy Crush. It passes the time pretty well, all in all. But then the next afternoon, you mow the lawn, you assemble some furniture, you do the DIY job that you've been putting off and somebody's been nagging you to do for a long time. Now, that first afternoon was fine. It was fine. It was perfectly fine. It was good and enjoyable enough. But the second afternoon feels even more satisfying. Why? Because you were made for more. Now, that's the difference between one day of life and another day of life. The first day was good. The second day was more. Now, Jesus here is the difference between life, what we go through, what we do, going about our world, having a family, doing our jobs, doing good work. Of course, that's life. But Jesus is the difference between life and eternal life. That eternal life is more. It's never-ending joy, starting now and extending into all infinity and eternity. It's never-ending contentment, peace, love. And only the creator of these concepts and these realities that we live with, only the creator can give us this eternally. And since Jesus is God, which he proved by his miraculous control over the laws of this universe every time he did a miracle, which he proved by rising back to life from the death that paid for our sins, only he has the means to satisfy us. And that's why Jesus can satisfy your longings for love and security and fullness, because he's God. And we were created by God for more. More than just this world. More than just the humdrum rhythm of life. More than just this. We were created with eternity in our heart, with longings and needs that only Jesus can fulfill. Look, you could hate this life. You're feeling anxious, feeling right now hopeless. You could be racked with guilt, nagged with this idea that something's wrong, not just with the world, but with you and me. Where else can you go but to the one who made you and the one who loves you? Or you could be enjoying this life and you could be watching this out of curiosity, or you're stuck at home with someone else who's watching it. But Jesus is better. Jesus is more. Knowing his love is better. having his eternal hope with you every single day from now on into eternity. It's better living to please him. Is better. It's a better way of living. And so, when he says he is the bread of life, how are we meant to feed on him? It's a bit of a strange thing, feeding on Jesus. He's the bread of life. Well, it's symbolism for believing in Jesus as the only one who can save you from your sin. And the only one who can give you eternal life. This bread of life, this believing in Jesus means to trust in him, to love him, to delight in him. Bread isn't something that is just meant to be this bland thing. It can be amazing. We can delight in Jesus. And to delight in his love for you that spans all of eternity. And he loves you so much that he died for all of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of your brokenness. So remind yourself every single day that he stays with you forever. That he sends God the Holy Spirit to live in you and to change you, enabling you to live in faith, in hope, in love. We can feed daily, give us today our daily, but we can feed daily from his words given to us here in the Bible. We can draw from his strength when we have none. We can be covered in his joy, in his peace when we feel none. We can feed from his grace, his generosity, his perseverance in the face of guilt and anger and giving up. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, God knows that our deepest need is Jesus. Pray that he'll give you Jesus today. Pray to God now. Talk to God now. Ask for Jesus' death to pay for your sin. And for his life to become your life. And give me Jesus every day. Give me today Jesus, the bread of life. Give me Jesus. That's the prayer we need right now to pray the most every single day, especially in the middle of this crisis. I need his hope. Give me the bread of Jesus. Give me his hope every single day. Give me his promises every single day. His forgiveness every single day. His love every day. And pray for everything necessary for living in God's kingdom, for living as a Christian. And may God give you his wisdom, his courage, his strength, his patience, his holiness, his vision. I know many of you Christians, I know many of you who feel weak or feel anxious or feel low. Get your spiritual nourishment from Jesus, from who he is as the one who made us and who loves us. Get your strength for today, because today's the day you need it. And yet, we obviously still need to live in a practical sense. And just because we pray, God, give me Jesus, it doesn't mean that's all he cares about. It's the most important thing. It's the utmost priority. But he wants us to live to his glory. To work, to eat, to enjoy the world he made and gifted us. And when you know Jesus, we get to benefit from his perfect relationship with our Heavenly Father. It means that we recognize that God is also our gracious Father who wants to give us what we need. And he is our sovereign Father who can give us what we need. Now, obviously, we can ask God for things in a selfish, greedy, wrong way, but it's legitimate to ask God, the gracious Father, who we are in this father-child relationship with, if we trust in Jesus. It's legitimate to ask God for anything that we need and for what we want. Because then we're treating him as the generous and capable father that he is. And so then here's the second layer of our prayer tonight. We pray the words, give us today our daily bread. We pray them needing physical bread. Our spiritual bread is Jesus. We need him. You need him more than anything else. But you also need to get through this life and get through this world. And we pray asking for our physical bread. That's the second thing. When we pray over our physical needs, these words here invite us to pray with solidarity. The words are, give us today our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Not me, not my, but us and our. Because give us is the logical extension of praying the words, our Father in heaven. It's not a self-centered prayer. Or at least it shouldn't be. It's a prayer for and with all of God's people around the world. We should be aware and we should care for everything going on in the world. We should be thinking about everyone's needs, not just our own. And how appropriate is this reminder and this prayer right now? How is this prayer going to change you and me tonight? We're praying in solidarity over the whole process of life's practical functioning. It's a prayer for the crops, for the animals. It's a prayer for the farmers, for the crofters, for the companies, the haulage drivers, the supermarket workers, those cooking and those serving. It's also a prayer for the natural resources and for scientists and developers, for the technology, the workers, the manufacturers, the service infrastructures, the delivery drivers. We're praying for the whole medical care process. We're praying for the government. It's such a wide-ranging prayer. And how right it is that we pray it together. Give us today everything we need for the practical functioning of our needs in life. We're also meant to pray with gratitude and recognition that God is the provider. Again, that's not to dismiss in any way the people and the processes that go on behind all the work and the development of our food and our resources and our devices and our government. Actually, it's to pray for all of that, recognizing that God oversees it all and that God is providing through the medical breakthroughs, the scientific breakthroughs. He created a world of order that we can investigate and develop and learn more. But we're also meant to pray with gratitude and thankfulness. It's like how many Christians, you might have noticed, would say a grace, what we call grace, before a meal. It's a short prayer of thanks to God for the food. It's grace. And yet we should also thank God for the good gifts of everything else that we do. Give us today our daily bread, Lord. It's a recognition that you provide for us everything we need. As G.K. Chesterton wrote, we should say grace before the concert and the opera, grace before the play and the pantomime, grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink. All these things are good gifts for our physical, mental, emotional well-being. And we thank the Father that He provides us with a world rich with good things to enjoy. Which ends up meaning that we also need to pray these words in dependency. Solidarity, gratitude, but also dependency. And I think this one is the hardest to pray. Give us today. Praying these words, give us today everything we need. It invites God to rule our lives. They make us vulnerable. We want food for our stomachs. We want things. We don't want food for our souls. We want God to be a genie that we ask things of, not a person that we need to depend on. Which ends up meaning that we don't end up including God in many of our decisions in life. And let's be honest, sometimes it feels weird to pray for certain things. It feels weird to pray for a new job or new clothes or a car. Praying over a car, praying over the house or a holiday. How many of us have prayed over a holiday or even a new game to buy? Does God even care? Is God even there? And so we don't pray over it. Instead, we just work for it. And we end up separating our lives into two. Take a moment and assess your own heart. Many of us, me included, will have a spiritual life and then a material life. Here, in the material life, we work for our money and we use that to pay for what we want. It's our life. In effect, we're saying, I need to plan out my life and I need to be in control. And yet here we are. I imagine the last few weeks have brought home how we can't take life for granted, that we're not in control. As the saying goes, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. All our plans have fallen through. All the things that we worked for and paid for, everything's fallen through. Job security is uncertain. Surgeries and appointments are falling through. The forward planning is up in the air. Holidays are out the window. Weddings are postponed. Music concerts and film premieres and all football. It's all cancelled, delayed. The Olympics are delayed. It's all gone wrong. And worry and anxiety and fear starts bubbling up in the pit of our stomach. It's nagging away in our minds. We hate not knowing. We hate not being in control. Well, in the passage we read from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus directly touches upon those feelings inside of our hearts. Verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? How can Jesus say this? What's his antidote for worry? Jesus instead invites us in the words that follows. He invites us to trust our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, who made us, who knows us, who loves us. He asks us to consider the birds. They don't have storerooms. They don't have barns. They don't have bank accounts. And yet God cares for them. Same with the flowers. And you and your family are far more precious to God than them. Jesus died for you more than he died for the flowers. And Jesus invites us to seek first the kingdom of God instead. That's the antidote. To seek first the kingdom of God. To see first the perspective of who God is. He's the king over all of time and space. The king over the cosmos. Every moment of history, past, present, future, it's all in his hands. He knows it all simultaneously. This is the king. See first the perspective of God. Trust first the priorities of God. All your concerns, all your needs and worries, give them to God in prayer. Let them be God's problem. Let God worry about tomorrow while we serve God and his kingdom, his priorities today. And this is a prayer of radical dependency where my heart is placed in his hands for a new perspective, for new priorities, and for all of my provision every single day. It's not about me and about me planning my life and being in control of my life. It's me giving it all up to him. He's in control. It's his kingdom. I need to seek first his kingdom, his perspective, his priorities, and he will provide. Today, let's pray. Father, give me the things I need for living for you in this world. For food, for health, for protection, whatever. Not for nothing. The words that come directly before this in the prayer, the words that we looked at last week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God knows what we need better than we do. And yet what you ask for may be what God thinks you need. And you may get it from the generous Father who loves to give gifts to his children. If you want to see God provide for you, put yourself in the situation where you need him as you seek first his kingdom. It's very easy to try and control our own lives and then we wonder why God doesn't deliver us. It's very easy to do God's work while actually relying on ourselves. Doing it all in our own strength and then we wonder why we don't see the Spirit moving. Let God be in control. Let him be your provider. Ask him, our Father in heaven, give us today everything we need. And you will see him provide for you every single day. Both through giving you Jesus. And giving you hope. And giving you love. But also giving you everything that you need. The things you need to live for him. If you don't know this God, this Jesus, if you're hearing this for the first time tonight, if you are praying for Jesus to be the bread of life for you, please do contact us. Please do go on the website. Please do email us. phone the office, talk to us. Please contact us. We would love to talk to you. We would love to send you booklets. We would love to send you a Bible if you don't have one. Talk to God most of all. And ask Jesus to be your king. Because he died for you. He loves you. And he wants to provide for you and help you for as long as we live and into eternity forevermore. Amen.